Returning for another fine episode is Joe Peters, the real estate guru of Central Jersey, New Jersey, maybe the world. I know, you know, as a salesperson in real estate, you know, referrals is, you know, returning customers is one of the keys, yes. Right? So we've just did the third episode here on Casual Conversation. So why do you keep coming back?
Well, I come back because, first of all, it's a good way to get me presented to the community. And secondly, it's a good way for people to learn about my services and get in touch with me. I would say my success rate is fairly high. Just read the testimonials. So I keep coming back because you're a good medium for meeting new people. And it works. I get people who've seen your podcast to give me a shout.
Hello again, everyone. This is Kaz Bielan, and this is Casual Conversations. It's an audio and a video podcast where we speak to people who are very important to our world. Today, our very special guest who's back returning for another fine episode is Joe Peters, the real estate guru of Central Jersey, New Jersey, maybe the world.
I should give myself a raise for a comment like that.
You have a glow around you today, so you have to live up to the glow now. So tell us quickly about yourself again for those. Yeah. There's two other episodes, by the way, folks, so we'll have the links below. You can watch other episodes that we did with Joe. But again, tell us briefly about yourself, Joe.
Quite quickly, I've been in real estate about 20 years. I come from a professional sales background, and I lend those skills into real estate. The most important thing you need to look for in somebody that's doing real estate is somebody who not only knows and understands what's going on, but they can explain it to you. And the components that we're going to go through today, we're going to see a little bit of that. But my people who work with me have said in the past, he's got the heart of a teacher. I learned so much as we went through. So that's the most important thing. You don't want somebody who's done one or two transactions. You want somebody who's done this hundreds of times already. And in 20 years, that's what I've done.
So, Joe, tell us your website where people can reach you and other ways they can reach you right now. We tell later, but do it off the top.
So you can see my name up on the top, Joe Peters. jpeters.com is my website. And my phone number, 908-304-4660. You can either call me or text me if I'm not working with somebody else. You can be pretty surprised. I usually pick up the line.
It's true. He does. I called him. He picked up. Every time. I don't know how he does that. So let's look back at 2023 in real estate. Yeah. How would you assess that?
It was a challenging year. 2023 had a pretty good result, even though we had the challenges. And the three challenges that we had were low inventory. It's still a challenge. Higher interest rates. They're going to adjust a little, and we'll talk about that. But it was very active. And in 2023, I cover both Hunterdon and Somerset County, and I also help people move in from Middlesex and Morris and whatever. So I get a little bit outside of the fringes. But Hunterdon and Somerset's my sweet spot. So I took a few statistics from Hunterdon and Somerset. Last year in Hunterdon, at this point in time, we had 194 listings. Today we have 184. That's pretty close. I mean, that's within 1%. In Somerset County, we had 418 listings. Right now, we have 247. So that's about 25% off. But the interesting point here is sales. We sold 1,534 units in Hunterdon last year versus 1,700 the year before. Last year being the year it's just ending in this weekend. And then in Somerset, we sold 3,333. I should play that number. And the previous year, we had 3,996. So we're about 11% off in sales because we didn't have enough inventory to match all the demand. And we're about 33% off in sales in Somerset County. Somerset County, in real estate, the closer you are to New York, the hotter the market is. So people leave New York, head west. They get to about Watchung, Warren, and I think they got into heaven, and they have compared to where they came from probably. And as you go on, it gets better and better, but people only go so far. So as a result, Somerville's a hotter market than Hunterdon, but they're both really great places to live. And people say, what's the real difference? You want to turn left at the cows, right at the horses. You want Hunterdon County. If you want something that looks almost like that, smaller lots, you Somerset County will do. And it's closer to New York.
So Joe, is the sort of influx from New York post-COVID? Because, you know, everywhere for the last couple of years, one of the things you heard is why the price is going up because everybody's moving out of New York and trying to get into beautiful New Jersey areas. Is that finally over where prices are going to stabilize?
For all intent and purposes, it's over. They came and they brought their New York salaries, and that's what drove the prices up. And we're going to talk about what happened to prices over the last few years. Mm-hmm. But it's subsided, and the people that were going to move have moved. The people who can work out of their office, not really as many as there used to be back in the middle of COVID. I know I have people in, I live in Huntington County, and I have people that work for AT&T and Verizon, and they're in back in the office a couple of days a week. So work styles have changed a little, so working totally remotely isn't as popular as it once was. Inventory last year was down, but not by a lot, as I said. And little new construction. This is really key. There's two markets. There's a market for new construction and there's a market for resale. We're 95% resale. If you look at new construction going on in Hunterdon and North Somerset County, it's typically in the high end, $1 million and up. If you're looking for a new construction in the low end, under 500, we're our first time buyers, it's non-existent. It doesn't make sense for them to build because of jurisdiction and requirements. It's just priced out of the market. So our market is a resale market. The other thing is, why don't we have inventory? And the answer is because if you're an existing seller and you're sitting in a house that's probably too big for you and the kids are gone, and amazing statistic, 2/3 of all of the houses in the state do not have a child of school age in them. 2/3.
Wow.
37% of those people own their house outright, and the balance of them have a mortgage that's probably well under 5%, depending when they got the mortgage. So they're a little reluctant to move up to what used to be a 7% to close to 8% mortgage. But the interesting point is that's changing. And we're saying that we talked last time about the five Ds.
So, Joe, what are the five Ds again? Tell me about that.
The five Ds are diploma, diamonds, diapers, divorce, and death. That's the demand that drives the market. That demand doesn't stop. But what happened last year was people couldn't find a house to buy. So it's now a pent-up demand, or more like a log jam. And what will make that log jam break? When interest rates get down to what we call a flash point. Remember when we had DVDs and when they finally got to $99, everybody had to have a DVD. Well, that's flash point. When you get to the right price, or everybody's got to have one or can afford to do it again, that's what we're going to get to. And we have to take a look at prices and what happened over the last few years. We had two unicorn years during COVID.
And what's a unicorn? Because I don't think everybody knows what that is.
Something we've never seen before.
Okay.
We might have heard of, but we've probably never seen before. And it's half of 20 going into 21 and half of 21 going into 22 were absurd years. We had 12. First of all, the average rate of sale, rate of increase in price over the last 50 years, the average rate of price across the whole country is 4.9%, just under 5%. Mm. In 2020, we had a 12% increase in prices.
Wow.
In 2021, we had an 18% increase in price. 2022 went up 9%, so it subsided a little bit. And this year, we're only going to have a 4% to 6%. So it's getting back towards normal. And people are saying, my God, the market's off. No, the market was off the last couple of years that you're looking at. It's not off now. And don't watch the people on the news because they're talking about a market in Miami. They just want to sell you negative news. The market they're talking about is not Hunterdon and Somerset County.
Hey, Joe, you tell them to watch people on the news, but they should definitely watch us or listen to us on the podcast,
that's for
right?
Sure. Well, that's where you need that local expertise because the woman sitting on the 7 o'clock news, depending which channel, or 6 o'clock news, I don't know what time it comes on, is talking to the whole nation. So she's talking about something in general. You are looking to buy a house in a specific area. You need an area specialist. That's where people like me come in. This is all we do. And as we're looking at 2024, remember I just said we're going to have about a 4% to 6% increase. in 2023. Well, we're still going to have an increase in 2024 because we still have more buyers than we have sellers. But work feeling, and this is a founded belief, that once we get to the flash point where I can afford that interest rate, people will sell and buy. And there's two things that are driving it. One is, look at the appreciation. Anybody that's owned a home 5 years now has 50% of that property is in accrued value. So in effect, if you bought a house for $500, you owned it for 5 years, that house is probably somewhere between $750 and $1 million. And that's all equity you've got in the house. You could borrow from that equity, go buy a house for cash and not pay the interest rate at all, and then sell yours on the other side, because we know they're going to sell. We can't list houses fast enough right now. So people say, oh, but it's gonna come back down. It's not. It really isn't. It's the same argument with inflation. Inflation isn't going up as fast as it used to, but it's never coming back down. It's never come down yet. So in effect, we're going to see prices go up, but at a more moderate tapered off rate. Now, how do we know this? We're looking at the amount of listings for the fourth quarter of this year. Usually the fourth quarter is on a slope like that. It's really a seasonal quarter and people don't list or buy in the fourth quarter. Well, this year it's more of like, instead of a 45 degree angle, it's more like a 20 degree angle. It's slowed down a little, but we're getting more listings than ever and they're selling. And that's the important part. We go and measure activity by days on market. We're typically running anywhere from 4 to 6 months. That's 120 to 180 days on the market. That's a typical market before COVID. We're now at 50 days on the market. And that, I think, is exaggerated for us, because if we take a look at Hunterdon, we have 2 months supply, that's 60. And we take a look at Somerset, we have a month and a half, that's 45 days on the market. Things are selling very quickly. And what happens with interest rates? Interest rates have been absurd. I don't want to get into any political comments, but the Fed has had interest rates too low for too long by buying them down artificially all the way back from 2009 to get the economy back on course. It's come across many administrations, so it's not one side or the other. We've artificially kept prices at around 3% for the last 15 years. Well, it's not there anymore. They let it go almost to 8%. But the good news is, if you look at this morning's interest rate and how do they calculate the interest rate, they use the 10-year bond and they add about 2.7% to it. So the 10-year bond this morning is something like, look at 3.87%, add 2.7 to it, you're at about 6.6. This morning's interest rate is 6.66.
And Joe, we're recording this December 2023. Yeah, so keep in mind that, folks, if you're watching this.
Business day of December. So we've seen interest rates go from 3 to almost 8 over the last 24 months. And as a result, most of your payment is interest, and the interest has doubled. So in effect, you can afford a lot less. Now they're coming down for two reasons. We're seeing the bond market strengthen and we're seeing interest rates follow it. And as a result, people can afford more than they could just a few months ago. And that's bringing people back into the market. We're not looking to see it ever get back to 3%, but we are looking to see a flashpoint. Most people have predicted it at 6.5. So we're at 6.66. We're pretty close to it. And that's where people that wouldn't have sold their house to buy another in the last 2 years will start putting their house on the market and people will start buying them. And we'll get back to a little bit of normal. We're not going to see the price reductions that we saw from 2008 to 2013. Not going to happen. We have too much equity. There's nobody in trouble out there. There's a few, but there's not a great many of people in trouble with their mortgage payment. The economy has been fairly strong. And we're going to talk about the economy a little bit. But the inventory will continue to come on the market. The interest rates will probably continue to drop. The Fed is talking about two or three more drops next year. it didn't go up, and that was good news this year. So next year, we're really hoping that it'll come back down a little. But will it get much past 6%? Probably not. So we're still twice what the interest rate used to be, but it's better than 8% by a hell of a lot. So that's where we're talking about the logjam, right?
Hey, Joe, you know, you said the I remember when interest rates were around 10% back in like 1990 era. And, you know, really recently, they like you say, have come down really low, you know, and now they're back up. I mean, if you, I just see a lot of building going on here, whether they're homes, but a lot of rentals. I mean, where are these people coming from? Where are they working? Because it's employment, it's wages affecting that. I mean, is there enough support in the economy to have people keep buying? And how does a young person afford a house these days?
Well, that's good, because I wanted to talk about the buyers next. So you led me right into that. Buyers are having a difficult time, because if you talked to me 3 months ago, if you look at the late summer broadcast that we did, a buyer making $100,000 between two people could typically buy a $380,000 house back when interest rates were 3%. A buyer at the end of last summer, when interest rates are almost 8%, could only buy a $280,000 house. That's because just merely the interest rates went up. The house prices went up as well.
Right.
That is changing. So we look at affordability when we look at a buyer. And the affordability is typically calculated at 28% of your gross income for the house. Never spend more than 28% towards your house. 25 is probably even a better bet. Now, why is that? You really need money to pay your car payment. You need, if you're young, you're probably still making a student payment on debt for school. You need to put some money away for when the car breaks. You need to put some money in your 401k. You need to buy groceries. You need some clothes. So they say about 28% is where we should be on buying a house. That should go to your housing. And 36% should be your total debt that you're paying interest on. You can borrow more than that. We found very creative ways to borrow more than that. But you really, if you're talking to your financial advisor, and I can't give financial advice, but I've heard them speak and say, you probably want to stay around 25%. You really want to be comfortable going forward. The other thing is that if the prices continue to go down, did I buy at the wrong time? Well, the answer is no. There's never a wrong time to buy, because you're going to marry the house. That's yours forever. That's the house of your dreams. You're only going to date the rate. And if the rate goes down, you refinance it. People want to live near their kids. And the kids or the people have moved. I know when we looked at properties down in the Carolinas, the Carolinas says these are all New Yorkers that moved to Florida. And now we call them halfbacks. They moved halfway back so they can get home in a day to see the grandkids. And some of them want to live right next to the grandkids now. Yeah. Florida's a great place to live. I owned in Florida as well. But when those little ones are there and they're an airplane ride away and grandma wants to be with them and they're, you want to be near it. And then, as I said, the end of the year is typically a slower time, but this year it's really not. So the question comes up is, what happens in 2024? Well, as I said, prices are still going to go up because we still have more buyers than we have sellers. So as the sellers sort of add up through the logjam, but they're going to buy as well. So everybody that sells typically buys as well. We're going to see the logjam break, and there's going to be definitely more inventory and more sales. An agent does a lot. They understand all the things that are going on. They understand. I had a client yesterday, and we've got on a sales side, we have 3 offers on the table. And okay, what do we do next? Typically go to best and if you choose the best of the 3 or go to best and final. And I said to her, your best offer may not have shown up yet. We put the house on the market the day before Christmas and nobody's out looking at houses. And we already got 3 offers. That's where a realtor comes along and says, perhaps we should be waiting a little bit more to make sure that we aren't missing the best offer that's going to come along. And in this market, with not enough inventory on the books, we're seeing 2.5 to 3 offers on every house.
Wow, Joe. Joe is such an amazing professional, real estate knowledge, years of experience. You can see all the little inside information that he can share with you, whether you're buying or selling a house. Now, one of the things that I think about is staging a home. You know, if you're selling a house, do people typically stage a house that makes the sale better? Or, you know,
that's one of the things an agent can do as well. When I walk through a house, I'll say, here's what should be fixed and shouldn't be fixed based on this market. The very first thing is curb appeal. I can't tell you how many times we pulled up in front of a house and a person said, I don't want to go inside. I can't live here. Nothing wrong with the house. They just can't see their relatives driving up and getting out of the door and coming in at the front door.
Yeah.
So curb appeal. And curb appeal is usually not expensive. It may be some shrubbery. It may be painting the shutters. It may be a new garage door. So you got to get them in the door. Once you get them in the door, the house has to have function. I had a guy who had his living room set up as his office. I said, we got to turn this back into a living room because people can't see the living room. They're not going to look at this house properly. Then we got to look at paint. We got to, if you say, oh, I'd like to redo the kitchen. You're not going to get your money back. It doesn't make sense in this market, any market, to redo the kitchen. Give them, if you're going to put $60,000 into a kitchen, take $25,000 off the price and say adjustment made for kitchen. We know it needs to be redone. People aren't going to want to redo the kitchen the way you redid the kitchen.
Yeah, they might not like the style. That might turn them off, right? Because they're like,
some people love white, some people hate white, some people don't like mahogany in the kitchen. It's amazing what people like and don't like. And you're going to have 10, 15, 20 sets of people walk through the house. You want to maximize the value. But when it comes to literal staging, I've done it in the past. And typically what I do is have a professional stager come in and take a look at your house and say, let's take this furniture out and put it in storage. You pick it up when you move and put some new furniture in this place for a month or two to make these rooms look more functional. Maybe there's no living room furniture left. And we'll put a couple of pieces in. Maybe there's a dining room table that's seeing better years. They can come in and put it in. You want to make it look plausible that people aren't buying the furniture, but they notice how the house has been maintained. It's a guy who's done it several hundred times before. That's what you're looking for. And so many people will jump to a niece or nephew that just got their license. I got to give them the business. Says, no, putting your most important asset in the hands of a person or a family member, you wouldn't have them sell your car. Why would you have them sell your house?
That's true. That's true, Joe. Hey, Joe, tell again, because this is an audio video podcast, people, how they can contact you again.
So my phone number, 908-304-4660. You can call or text that number. I am pretty proactive at getting back to people. And if you want to look at my site, it's jpeters.com, J like in Joe, Peters, P-E-T-E-R-S.com. On that site, you can sign up for my newsletter. You can take a look at the article I just published. It's an infographic on why to use a realtor when selling your house. I also have the buyer side of those. I do interviews with local dignitaries. Like there's an interview with Dennis Sullivan, who's the mayor of Somerville, on there. And he talks about all the things that have happened in Somerville. I've had several of the other mayors on, and I'm continuously talking to people and run a podcast myself. And you can take a look at my podcast that they're always on some of the interesting things happening in the two counties.
Now, interesting information. That's how we pass information on here on Casual Conversations, and check out Joe's podcast, a fellow podcaster out there in the podcast world. Joe, how would you, if someone never met you, in like a short sentence or two, how would you describe yourself to someone?
Well, I'm a person who is 6'4", that probably shrank down to 6'3". I'm a person who likes people. I'm a person who's very organized and methodical, and I also very technical background. I used to work in IT. I sold large end IT solutions. So I use technology like my blog to reach people, podcasts. NJ Red, which is a new startup that's working with realtors, he said the reason I called you was when I looked at realtors in Hunter and Somerset County, your name was on top of the list. That's all done through technology. Yeah. And I'm a little bit different than your average realtor. I'm easy to work with, and I am not pushy, and at the same time, very reactive. And I mean, two of the comments I saw on, look at Zillow. It's also on my, you can go to Zillow and look me up, or if you go to my site and the footer to Zillow references or testimonials are all there. And one person said, he truly has the heart of a teacher. I learned so much, and we were so successful in doing what we wanted to do. And another person said, every time he came over, he stopped and talked to my kids. Well, I thought everybody did that. Maybe it's because of my grandfather, okay? But it's like, I was amazed that people picked that out. So love people, love what I'm doing, and it shows.
All right, Joe, sit up. I have to ask an important question. You have to sit up closer to the screen, okay? I know, you know, as a salesperson in real estate, you know, referrals is, you know, returning customers is one of the keys, yes. Right? So we've just did the third episode here on Casual Conversation. So why do you keep coming back?
Well, I come back because, first of all, it's a good way to get me presented to the community. And secondly, it's a good way for people to learn about my services and get in touch with me. I'm trying to market myself, number one. And then IBM is not the top technology company like it used to be, but all of my IT background was associated with IBM. And IBM trained us as customers internally how they think. And one is you have to sell yourself first. And you are buying me. And now that you're saying I can work with that person, I'll take a look at what they're offering and work with them in a more methodical fashion than I'll probably find in most other people. And then I would say my success rate is fairly high. Just read the testimonials. So I keep coming back because you're a good medium for meeting new people. And it works. I get people who've seen your podcast to give me a shout.
Oh, thank you very much, Joe. That's great. I'll chalk that up. Put it. Make a nice promo. Have that little sound bite. Joe says, thank you very much, Joe. Enjoy 2024. Huge success to you. And hope everyone goes out there and buys a house, sells a house, and calls up Joe.
Peter, I think it's going to be a much better year than the last. So I look forward to meeting and working with new clients and helping to make their dreams and goals complete.
Awesome. Thank you again, Joe.
Cheers.